D&D, Dungeons Academy, No Humans Allowed, written by Madeline Rue and illustrated by Tim Probert. Chapter 3. A magic stick of chalk squeaked across the board, outlining the day's subject. The family tree of Alidora Stillstrike, known adventurer and enemy to all monsters. Their Dimlik instructor, Professor Gast, was merely a floating, bespeckled skull engulfed in blue flames hovering back and forth in front of the filling chalkboard. Gast was hated by just about every student at the academy, and Zelly suspected by most of the staff, too. Undead weren't welcome, not even among monsters. But he had once been a well-respected and feared hobgoblin wizard. The story went that he had journeyed toward Waterdeep to lecture on the perils of adventurers and on their way ironically died from a human ambush. When he turned up again on school grounds, nothing but a bewitched hobgoblin head, nobody could convince him that he was dead or different. Professor Gast now fastidiously avoided mirrors. His lack of body did not mean lack of knowledge, and he had a habit of droning on and on and on, making history of horrible humans' classes the prime nap hour. But not this time. This time she sat listening closely, absorbing every petrifying fact about what she was becoming more and more convinced was her extended family. Hugo, Snabla, and Bauble had all chosen desk in her vicinity, but Gast's lecture was distracting enough to keep her from worrying about them clinging to her like monster barnacles.
The Steel Strike legacy is one that should strike fear into the hearts of any wise dungeon dweller,
Gast wheezed, bobbing back and forth, the magic chalk underlying the word dancer three times on the blackboard behind him. He had a voice like the stream whistling off a kettle.
Marked by their signature battle cry, one will always be warned when a steel strike has entered the dungeon.
Zelly's eyes widened. Battle cry? Like a battle roar? All this time, she had assumed her roaring acumen came from the lessons her own Minotaur mother had given. But maybe this was something passed down in the blood. And there she had gone all around the school, roaring her tail off, giving herself away. She glanced around at her fellow students, but only Hugo regarded her back. His eyes, by contrast, narrowed. Was he noticing the painfully obvious resemblance between her and the woman illustrated in the manual she had procured from the library? She had only been paying attention to the owlbear for a brief time, but already she could tell he was sharper than most. He kept his head down in class, and she couldn't remember him. Ever raising his paw to answer a question, but maybe he just wanted to avoid attention from the other owlbears. Fumbling, Zelly reached up to make sure her fake horns were still on straight.
Those few who have survived encounters with the Steel Strike family suggest that they are susceptible to spring traps. For while they are a hardy bunch, they are not particularly nimble.
Zelly grimaced at that, so she wasn't the most graceful person in the world. That didn't make her clumsy enough to fall for a spring trap.
Don't take it personally. You don't want to be related to these humans, remember?
But while they may have occasional weakness, a monster must never underestimate a steel strike,
Gast continued. A scream from outside the classroom interrupted.
Ah!
But it was distant,
an echoing one. And so commonplace as not to be noticed. Loud enough to shake the mansills and cages hanging from the walls of the classroom, it only gave Professor Gass the slightest of pauses.
Theirs is a lineage of strength, perseverance, and dogged pursuit of dungeonly riches. They have never met a challenge that they cannot conquer. Proudly wearing the scars of numerous battles, considered by their wretched human peers to be ennobled, kindly, and the bravest heroes.
Ennobled, kindly? Zelly's face flamed hot and red, her hands balled up in the fist on her desk. These dratted humans had abandoned her in the basket with nothing but a blanket and a scrap of leather with their name Zelidora carved in it. Kindly, brave. Now she was going to grow up among monsters, and all monsters did get sent out into the dungeons to be slaughtered by deviling heroes. They had co-signed her to a cruel fate, to be an outsider all her life, and then to die in a far-off, dingy dungeon, just another half-remembered foe.
Lies. They're not brave at all,
she heard herself shout as if found, and found herself suddenly on her feet with enough force to knock her desk to the side. One of her horns fell somewhat askew, and she scrambled to fix it. The whole class, including Professor Gast, went dead quiet. All eyes were on her as she breathed heavily, realizing that she hadn't just imagined interrupting, but had actually done it.
I beg your pardon, Miss Stormclash. Did you have something to relate to the class?
Professor Gast paused, as did the chalk behind him.
I should expect a student of your years to know that it is classroom etiquette to raise one's hand before an outburst.
A few students giggled at that. Zelly pinched her lips together tightly, her anger only swelling at their laughter.
It's not an outburst. It's the truth. These humans are cowards. Who would be afraid of a defenseless baby?
A defenseless...
An invisible force adjusted the professor's spectacles, which had begun to slide down.
Please be seated, Miss Stormclash. I have not finished today's lesson.
I won't sit down. I refuse to learn about these humans. I hate them!
She was already in trouble. She reasoned, and so she collected her things and turned on her heel, living up to her adopted mother's name and storming out of the class.
Miss Stormclash!
She heard a guest calling frantically after her.
Unacceptable, young lady! That is detention! Report to the dean's office!
Zelly would do more than that, she thought. Much more. She would return to the dormitory, pack up her things, and leave the academy for good. Her heart clenched at the thought of leaving her mother's, but they would just have to understand. She would leave them a note, explain everything. She didn't belong at that school, or among monsters. She didn't really belong anywhere. She trekked back up to the main corridor, avoiding the familiar traps, running and running, avoiding. She knew the hounds of hard truths nipping at her feet. Where could she go? She wondered. Who would want her? Not the Steel Strikes, certainly not after she had been raised by Minotaurs since infancy and then trained for the rest of her life by gelatinous cubes and beholders and giants coaching P.E. How long until someone realized she wasn't actually a Minotaur? And if nobody ever discovered her secret, how long until they stuck her in a maze somewhere, not as a strong or sizable or unstoppable as real Minotaur, doomed to be a lonely watch until some human came to destroy her? The dean's office, sitting behind a massive embellished door, flanked by two sphinx statues, appeared on her left. Zelly hastened her stride, ready to fly
on by not at all prepared to hear the booming voice of Dean Zaxtus through the open door. "They will return," he was saying empathetically. "We must give them time." Zelly skidded to a stop on her boots a few feet past the door, then backtracked to kneel down and listen. She risked peering around one of the Sphinx's heads, finding the imposing, many-tentacled, many-spectacled Zaxtus hovering above a rune-etched carpet, Professor Cantrip, an alchemist caught an oozing emerald cube, pacing a wet streak back and forth across the same carpet. Zelly had always thought a gelatinous cube was a mindless, sticky blob just waiting to digest adventurers. But somehow, Cantrip had managed to stay alive and develop some kind of symbiotic relationship with the oozy substance, slurping him across the floor. Impro Vice, the mimic alchemy professor, was also present in their natural blobular form.
"What if they encountered too many obstacles?" Professor Canstrip asked,
his voice muffled through the gelatinous goo trapping him upside down.
"Horn Tree Village is but 10 miles north here. They should have returned yesterday at the latest."
"I concur," Improvise added.
"This is most concerning. Guthrash is a formidable leader, but still so young."
Dean Zaxtus blinked his main immense veiny purple eyes, and all the others attached to the tentacles turned away from them, and he hovered, if at all possible, with detectable hesitation. A few of his tentacles had their own single lenses, the eyes attached to them owlishly huge from the magnification.
"There are rumors of a most unnerving nature. Whispers of adventurers entering the region."
The two professors gasped in unison. Out in the hallway, hidden behind the Sphinx, Zelly did too. Something deep inside, a trustworthy but annoying voice, bubbled up to tell her she knew what was coming next. Her stomach went tight. She clutched the statue with enough force to crack the stones. Palms wet with nervous sweat, her heartbeat quickening as the Dean growled out the most sinister thing she could imagine.
"On sighting should make us all tremble," he said. "That of Alladora Steelstrike, the unyielding blade. Bane protect them, for if they happened upon that human, they are already lost."